Hello and welcome to our December Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm Cindy O'Neill Davey, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections Networking, as well as our quarterly educational series for networking mastery skill shops. Our Exceptional Speaker Bonus Calls highlight our monthly spotlight speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. I am super excited to be highlighting Chuck Oxford. Chuck was the 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent December 11th ECN luncheon, and we're excited to have him share his informative talk on Disk Generation 2, Expanding Your Influence. So to set the expectation on this call, Chuck has generously agreed to share with us for the next 25 to 30 minutes. We'll then open the call for Q&A, so be sure to write down your questions and save them until after Chuck's talk. And also, we want to encourage you to stay on the line until the end, as we'll be sharing ways that our listeners can connect with Chuck, as well as other exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. Chuck Oxford is a former corporate executive with several aerospace companies, with responsibilities ranging from project management to regional and international business and marketing. As a small business owner for 13 years in Bellevue, he was awarded Small Business of the Year, Small Business of the Year in 2012 by the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce. And this is a great distinction. He's the first and only automotive company to achieve this recognition in the history of the award. So great job, Chuck. He also has extensive experience in creating successful business cultures, systems, and functional teams that achieve exceptional service-oriented work environments which accelerate business growth and profitability above industry norms. Way to go, Chuck. Chuck is dedicated to making a difference by mentoring small business owners to change their view of themselves and their companies, their future potential, and to recognize the possibilities beyond their current thinking. In essence, his passion is to support small business owners to tap into their genius. Chuck has served on our Exceptional Connection contribution team since 2013. He's a mentor connector and has earned over 20 hours through our educational series Skillshop as a savvy connector. It's my pleasure to turn this call over to the always faithful, always insightful, and awesome Chuck Oxford. Take it away, Chuck.
Okay, thank you, Cindy, and welcome, everybody. I appreciate your time today. You're investing an hour in, learning something new. And so what I want to get before we start, actually, on the information is the reason why I am really passionate about Disk Generation 2 is that one of the things that I observe and has been observed by many people is that one of the biggest barriers in people's success and being successful in their professions is really the lack of people skills. You go into corporations and companies and teams within companies, and the interaction between people is just poor. It's astounding. So I like this because it creates a common language to build understanding and make people aware that everyone is unique and everyone is wired differently and communicates differently and behaves differently. And that there really is, within the DISC modality, there is no right or wrong. So if you've done your assessment, there is no right one, there's no wrong one, there's no better one, there's no worse one. And we all have each of the four styles within us that we use every day. So if you've done your assessment, you'll see four different scores for each of the different basic styles. And that just indicates the strength you have in each one of them. High score means you have high strength, and low score means you have low strength in those. So we want to make sure that, everybody understands we all exhibit this, and each one of these four basic styles can make and do make significant contributions to their organizations and their teams. So, and as a result today, you probably should begin seeing patterns in people that will suggest what styles they might be, which will give you an insight and let you gain influence with people, because now you'll be able to recognize how they might approach people, and nothing is personal. So you have to keep that in mind as well. So as you see, if those of you who've been able to download the notes, you can see that DISC is about how to better interact, understand, and communicate with people and gain influence to produce positive outcomes with the most important relationships in our daily lives, such as coworkers, family, friends, and the management at your work. So if everybody has the notes, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the traditional DISC model, where you'll see the D, I, S, and C in the square, and on the outside the square, you'll see outgoing, reserve, task, and people. And these are the general traits of people within the DISC model. And the D, I, S, and C are the specific, more detailed patterns. So we'll start now with the outer part. So let's talk here about out. We'll start with the upper part of the square, and you'll see the outgoing. And outgoing people, they love to go and do things, energetic or optimistic. They like being in charge of things, not so much because they want to do the work. They just like to tell people what to do. They're enthusiastic, so people like to put them in charge of things. They're very energetic, so they often plan to do more than they can handle sometimes. They tend to talk faster and louder because they're enthusiastic and passionate about the things that they want to do. And their credo echoes the words of George Patton, who says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's the way outgoing people are. So let's move to the lower part of the square, reserve people. They're a little bit slower paced, they're calmer, and they talk softer than outgoing people. They're cautious, and they don't like to jump into things without testing the water or having somebody test the water for them. They're cautious. And they don't speak freely or quickly about their feelings or their experiences to other people, at least not as quickly as the outgoing people. And they think before they speak. So when they speak, usually you want to listen because they have something meaningful to say. And they prefer to operate kind of behind the scenes. By getting the job done, they don't like to draw attention to themselves. And they're the kind of people who would rather have one or two close friends than have a crowd of acquaintances around them. They don't like to be in the middle of things. They like to operate, like I said, behind the scenes. So now moving to the left part of the square, to the outside, task-oriented people are planners and like working on projects. They like to work on the foundation of things. Nothing is better to them than a fine-tuned, well-oiled, peak-performing machine. They want people and things to be in their best form and best shape in order to perform the task at hand, because they have high standards. They are excellent planners who can see the end of a project from its beginning. They are the ones who put together plans that actually work. They're very detailed. They argue, they agree with Ralph Waldo Emerson's words, what I must do is all that concerns me, not what people think. So they're more concerned about doing the task and not focusing on developing relationships with people. Not that they're not friendly, that their focus is more on data, not on people. So moving to the right side, we have people-oriented people, and they're the ones that are more interested in developing relationships with other people than accomplishing tasks and paying attention to detail. They like talking and sharing their feelings. They're really more open with this. They are more concerned about feelings of other people. They have a strong awareness of the needs and desires of other people as well. They want to be liked, and they want people to be happy with them. Because to people who are people-oriented, life is all about enjoying friendships with people rather than task and detail. So moving now to the square, we'll move from the general into the more detailed. So we'll start with the D. And the D is for dominance. These people like to dominate. They're very direct. They're demanding. And they like challenges. These are the people, they're go-getters. They're like, don't stand in my way. I have things to do and places to go. And they want to climb the next mountain. And they don't want anybody to be in their way. So they like control. They don't want any barriers. They want to be able to just run with their ideas, run with getting the mission done, because they're results-oriented. They're all about the results. And they like to get things done. They like to lead. They like to tell people what to do. This is their mantra. And they need challenges. They get bored quickly if they don't have challenges. Not that they don't like things to run smoothly. They just want to know that things are getting done. They like choices. They like options and getting things done as well. So it's good that people who work for them do bring options to their attention. They love control. That's their need. And they like to, like I said, is they like to tell people what to do. And they love having the authority. And they don't like necessarily rules or policies, because they get in the way of them getting things done. And the one thing that D's like is like a chance to advance, because they want to be recognized for all the wonderful things they accomplish. So it's important. But at the same time, D's do have weaknesses and challenges. They need to learn to relax. They get stressed out. They sometimes get in people's faces. They want to, because they just want to get the job done. And they could use to note that they need more focus on people, that they just can't run people over in getting the job done. So they have to recognize the people on their team, that they also contribute and they support, because they couldn't do it without the people on their team. Because D's are not about detail. They just want to get it done. They're big picture people. And they have to have patience. So they need to sometimes slow down, have patience with people, try to hear people out. And then people talking to D's need to understand they can't come with a big, twisty, windy story. They have to get to the bottom line, because D's are only about the bottom line. So when you talk to a D, it's really important to bring bullet points, get to the point. And then D's have to understand that controls can be okay, because sometimes it keeps things focused so that the project gets done more effectively. So that's it for the D's, and now we'll move to the I's, which is the upper right-hand corner. The I's, they're the people who build enthusiasm. They're the ones that get people energized, especially in the beginning of a project. They're the ones who get people excited. They're inspiring. They're high energy. They'll take on 5, 6, 7 things at a time, and they like to be the center of attention. And, you know, they're the first ones, if you're in a meeting, they'll grab the microphone if nobody else does, because they like to draw attention to themselves. And they like to be influential. They like to talk. And they like to have people listening to them. And they love recognition. So they like people telling them how well they've done, how good they are, how well things are going. and they like to be the center of attention, as I said. They like to draw that to them because they're the people that when you go to a meeting, they're going to be the people that are going to turn the music on, they're going to put the balloons up, they're going to have all the decorations needed to make the event go well. And they're exciting. I mean, they build excitement. People follow them. They're popular. So people will just automatically follow them. And they are friendly. They're the ones that will go around the room and shake everybody's hand, know everybody's name, slap people on the back, kind of like running for office. So, but that's the people that really get things energized in a meeting. And they love to have fun. So whatever it takes to have fun at a meeting or in a team, they're the ones doing it. They're the ones, they create the fun. So the eyes have needs, and the one thing they need is, one of several things they need is the opportunity to talk. They got to talk to people. They got to interact. They want people to like them, so they'll do whatever it can. Like I said, they sometimes need the opportunity to run for office, to talk, be in front of the room, to be able to speak to people. They like the recognition, so they love people coming up to them, telling them how well they've done, what's going on is working well, that they've done a good job. They love it. And they need to be popular, so they'll do anything to make people happy, make the meeting harmonious, build up the energy, you know, whatever it takes. Louder music, they'll turn it up. So. And they need a chance to influence others. So they like to have the chance to talk to everybody in the room. So said they'll go around, shake everybody's hand, talk to everybody, learn a little about them, and they'll know everybody's name usually. So the eyes do have some weaknesses they need to focus on. Because they take on many things, they're energetic, and they can run in five different directions, they need to focus on time and detail. So they need to pay attention to time, to deadlines, and getting the details, because they're more focused on speaking than listening. So sometimes, because they're not listening as closely as they should, they miss some of the detail. And they also need to be held accountable so that they can get the job done. Eyes are often satisfied with 70 to 80% of a project or a task done. And often we know that that doesn't get us to the goal line for what maybe the organization needs. So they need to be held accountable. And that's why the others, like the D's, the S's, and the C's, come into play to hold these people accountable. They need to listen more. That's one thing for sure. They're so busy talking, they do forget the detail, and they will miss deadlines if they're not made more aware that deadlines are approaching. And they need to learn how to finish jobs. Because I said, 70, 80% of the way is good enough for them, and they're moving on because they got five other things they're trying to do. So they need to understand finishing the job is important. And because they draw attention to themselves, and they like to be the center of attention, the middle of the crowd, they need to learn to spread the credit around. Because it takes a team to get things done. They don't do it by themselves. As we've seen, they're good at 70, 80% of the job done. So they need to spread the credit around when the job's complete because many people contributed to their success. And the last thing in the weaknesses is they need to slow down because they're fast talkers, they talk loud, and they're doing so many things that they need to slow down, so because not everybody can keep up with them. So they need to make sure everybody on the team, everybody in the group, is on the same page with them, that they haven't moved on and leaving people behind. So now we'll move to the lower right-hand part of the quadrant, and we'll talk about the S's. And the S's are people who are very supportive, and they're the people who do the work, they do high-quality work, they take care of everybody, and they do it kind of around the edge of the room. They don't like to draw attention to themselves. So they get the job done, they're the people in a meeting who will be sitting kind of on the sides or in the back. They don't sit in the front of the room because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. And they're very steady. They're conscientious. So they get the job done, and they don't need a lot of praise. And they'll work alone or in a group without having to be micromanaged. And usually they're very nice, soft-spoken people, very charming, and they can be shy. So it's often important that when you're talking to an S or have an S on your team, that you reach out and include them in the process, because they'll stand on the sidelines and won't say a word. So you need to pull them in, because they're not antisocial. They want to be included, actually, but they just are shy and they just don't know how to break the ice, like people who are outgoing or like eyes would do. Eyes would just break the ice immediately. And they like security. They like to be in a secure position. They want to know that the project they're working on, the tasks they're doing, means something and everything is going well and what their contribution is adding to the team and to the project. And they want harmony. They want everybody to be happy. They want everybody on the team to get along, everybody on the same page, everybody happy. So that's important to them. They like appreciation, but they often get overlooked because they do the tasks without drawing attention to themselves. They just get stuff done. So it's important to reach out to them and at least say thank you, you know, and recognize them for a job well done. And they are selfless, and they have very little ego. So you do have to be careful in dealing with them in that, like D's, for instance, can run them over and not realize it. So we have to be sensitive that they need their space as well. So S's have needs. Their needs are security. They want to make sure that what they do is meaningful and makes a contribution, and everything is going well with the group. And as I said, they like appreciation. It's important because these people can easily get overlooked. So when you're doing work with an S, please at least say thank you to them. It'll go a long way. And they do like their environment to be harmonious. They want everybody to be happy. They want everything going well. And they stress out if it's not. So we have to be aware of that. And they won't say anything either. So you got to be aware. And they like to give. They're givers. And they will do anything that's needed to help the group. And they'll even think ahead of the curve what the group needs. So they're wonderful people to have on a team. The S's have some weaknesses they need to be aware of, is being able to say no. They're often the people that they can't say no, and they take on everything that people ask them because they want everything to be harmonious. So what happens is they often can take on too much, which causes some chaos with them and definitely stress. And they have to realize that change can be good. That sometimes changes to projects, changes to team, strengthen the situation and make course corrections that are important to the results. So they have to be aware not to take it personal. And they have to be aware that if somebody commands them to do something, they can't take it personal. And it is not meant to demean them. They have to realize that it's something that's being done to make an immediate course correction in them or in the project to make things better. And that they have to realize shyness has its limits, and they can get left out, they can get forgotten, and they have to step up and sometimes hold their ground and stand up for themselves. And they have to realize criticism can be helpful. So again, don't take it personal. If it's all just constructive criticism, S's need to understand that it's in their best interest so they can be more effective in the group. So now we move on to our last one, the C. Now, C's are cautious. They're very task-oriented. They're reserved. But they're very competent. These are people who don't need a lot of management. The important thing with C's is you be clear about what the mission is, what the task is, give them what the boundaries are, everything they need to know to excel, and they'll take it from there. They're very conscientious, so they're the people that are going to do the task 100 to 110%. These are the people that are, and they pride themselves on being accurate and detailed. I mean, beyond none. So they like structure. They like procedures. They like policies because they want to know where they stand and where the project stands. And they value accuracy. They're highly accurate. You know, you see somebody, you better have your game together, because if you're challenging them on their accuracy, you have a high likelihood you're going to be wrong. And they value excellence. They will do things, their goal is to do things better than anybody else. And they enjoy learning. Of all the four styles, the C's one that will grow the most over a lifetime, because they're lifelong learners. They're the ones that will go to seminars. They'll go to online programs. They'll do anything to learn something new. They crave new knowledge. And C's need to be accurate. They need to have they don't like sloppiness in a project, so, or in a team. So it's important that they have, so people give them clarity on what needs to be done so they can be 100% accurate. And in most cases, in most matters, it's important that they have that clarity down to the nth degree, because otherwise they'll become stalled, because they won't know where to turn next, because they don't want to make any mistakes. So excellence is important to them. They don't like making mistakes. They want to look good. They have pride. So precision is their game, and details beyond none. And this is where the accountants, CPAs, the engineers, this is where they live, in the C area. So they do have some weaknesses. One is perfectionism. They got to be perfect, and so sometimes they will take criticism poorly. And they forget about deadlines in a group. They get so involved with the detail and the minutiae of a project that they sometimes can forget there's deadlines you got to meet, and they're trying to cram in more detail, more accuracy, right up to the deadline. So the other, like D's or S's, need to come to their rescue to move them so they can get their work done to meet the deadlines of the group. And they have to, they need to understand emotions. They're the kind of people, they're all about data, and they're not focused on building relationships. So they tend to overlook emotions because they're more focused on the data, and they're not interested in the emotions or the stories of people on their team. Doesn't mean they're not friendly, it's just their focus is on data. So, and they have to understand it's okay if others disagree with them and not take it personal, and not take it as criticism of their work. But they can be challenging, and they can be severe in their criticism as well. So that's the four basic styles. I know it's kind of brief, but we're always fighting our time deadline here. So if you did your assessment, you'll see that there's four scores, and that one is your basic natural score, and the other is your adaptive environmental score. And your basic score is where you are naturally, how you act every day at home and with your family and friends. And your adaptive score, that's how you adapt when you're at work or in a social setting, in other settings other than your natural setting. That's how you work. So, and this is very important, because if you put somebody who maybe isn't who's an I, who likes to, you know, kind of party and enthusiasm and get things rolling, and you put them in a setting where they're where they have to be maybe a D or a C, which is all about detail and being dominant, and not so much about people, they're going to get stressed out. So you have to be careful if you have employees that you put in that situation. So the last part of this is, which we won't have any time to go into, is that what makes the DIS Generation 2 really important is that in 2016, the Bradford Grant Group published 24 substyles in conjunction with the basic disc. And this better, and this, these 24 substyles better explain why you might see differences within D's, within I's, within S's, and within C's. And kind of maybe a good example in a D is you'll see like Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos, they're D's, but so is Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seahawks. And yet they seem different. I mean, because Jeff Bezos and Steve Jobs, they're ruthless. And they run very, in Steve's case, he did run a very great company, and Jeff Bezos runs highly successful company. And they're ruthless. It's all about them. It's their way or the highway. Where you get another D style like Pete Carroll, even though he's got to get 53 players ready to win and their goal is to win, he's got to be dominant. He, at the same time, he listens. He's more of a fatherly figure. He listens. He reaches out. He takes people's comments and advices into his own thinking. So probably on the surface, people say, well, they can't all be D's, but they do. The substyles explain that. So at this time, we're running out of, we're at our limit, and because this normally is a two-day course. So we'll end it here with just the brief. There's 24 substyles, and it would take another lesson to learn about the substyles. So we can end it right here and open it up for questions if Cindy is ready for that.
All right. Great job, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck. It sounded good.
Yeah, great job. Thank you so much for I really can't hear this enough. It just is very intriguing, and I would recommend to anyone on the line, I tried to post it in as many locations as I could, to go to the bonus, I call it bonus opportunity, and take the free Tony Robbins test, or if there's another resource that you have available to you, take the test. And the most intriguing part is to print it out, the graph that shows the percentage of the D, I, S, and C, and then listen to this replay again, because it really starts connecting the dots for you when you have your own test results. Don't you find that, Chuck?
Yes, it does. It's definitely more revealing, because one of the things you gain from this is better understanding of yourself, and when you do that, you're better able to interact with the outer world.
Right. Right, and it's interesting because a lot of mine, I mean, Chuck has helped me understand mine as we're going through this process of getting him ready for this talk, and so I've had great mentoring, but a lot, I'm fairly balanced, and so in listening to you, Chuck, even this time, I noticed that, you know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well, you can relate to each part of the disc, you know, infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
That's
so,
because you start to recognize patterns.
Exactly, and then the dominance is another thing. Is, you know, which one, you know, maybe is stronger, has more. You have more more of that quality than others, and so it's just really fascinating to hear about this. So I'll go ahead and open up to any questions, because this is a great opportunity. We've got Chuck on the line. Many of you were also at our December Exceptional Connections Luncheon, and so this may be the second time that you've heard Chuck. We have people on the line that are hearing it for the first time, so feel free and ask your question, and if it's in regards to your own scores, you know, feel free to ask that as well. So anybody have any questions or comments, insights, ahas?
I've got a question. What if you come out really, really high on one thing and then everything else is like low?
Well, yeah. Well, then what will happen is that'll be dominant how you will act among everybody. What is your high thing?
You know, stabilizing. Have you taken it? I was an S.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're going to be the kind of person that's very supportive. You're going to help people. You're going to be a giver. you know. And are your other ones pretty low?
I've got one other that's the closest is a C, but it's like at 50% of that, and then everything else is kind of bunk.
Yeah. So you're going to be an the kind of S that you're going to be supportive, but C is the detail person, you know, reserved, and so.
That sounds like me.
So you know who's big when you have an S and a C is like nurses. You're not a nurse, are you?
No. This is
nurses
Kathy.
Are in that. Oh, this is Kathy. I can't quite tell who anybody is.
Yeah, no.
So people who are S's like to serve. They like to help people. You know, they'll do anything to have, you know, get the documents, get everything, all the information they need so they can help people, even if people won't help themselves. But on the other hand, your detail.
Should it be more balanced?
No, it can't be because it's who you are.
Oh, okay.
That's why if you look at your environmental, your adaptive score, it'd be interesting to see what that's like because probably would not be.
Chuck, we're losing your,
yeah.
I think you're turning your head or something. We're not able to hear you as well.
My adaptive score is even all the way across, almost identical.
Oh, well, that would mean that you're pretty adaptive to any situation, that one situation over another wouldn't cause you more stress or less harmony. So that's good.
Okay. All right. Huh.
Because, you know, like in your case, you're in insurance, you're going to have to sometimes tell people what to do, right? So your D's got to come out.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be too stressed about it.
Right.
That's
my lowest.
Get me that information now. You promised me. Get those premiums in now, right?
Yeah. That's funny because that is my lowest, and it's on both ends, on the D.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Chuck, hi. This is Rukshana here in Portland. I have a question. Is it possible that you could have personality in different environment, or is it, I heard you say that you'll have the majority that, you know, you will follow that, you know, all of them, that you will play a role. But if you go in different situations, does that change based on how you show up?
Yes. Your basic never changes because that's who you are naturally. But your environmental adaptive does change according to the environment or the situation you're in. It's just that some situations will cause you more stress depending on your assessment than other situations. So, your environment changes all the time. It changes to your situation. And it will also change, too, as you learn more or you get, you know, you take seminars and get educated and you learn and get exposed to more information out there, it will change as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, hey, Chuck, that was great. This is Kathy again. I'm going to hang up. I got to run. But thank you
okay.
so much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for joining
Merry
us.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. So Chuck, I'm looking at my chart and I'm noticing the adaptive and the natural style. So that's fascinating to me. You know, you were talking about the natural style being what we're born or, you know, that's how we're born. That's not changeable. Those are stable traits. And the adaptive is how we react to our environment and changes, right?
Yes.
And for some of mine, there's not a big difference, and others, there's a huge difference. So I think that's intriguing how we react to things, and I'm noticing that once I can relate to that, then I have more compassion for myself. Is that part of this process, too, is once you understand, you know, like, who you are, then you can not only have more compassion for others, but also for yourself.
Well, exactly right. I mean, that's exactly one of the core values of DISC is that you first really learn about yourself and how you can adapt to the outside environment so that you can gain influence and you can better interact with other people. So that, you know, if you put yourself into an environment with other people, and we'll say you're an S and you get involved with a D, that's going to be very stressful. So you're going to have to understand yourself and say, well, I'm an S, so therefore this is how I am. So therefore, when I talk to like a D or a C, that I'm going to have to watch what I say, how I do it, and so I can better connect. And that's a whole nother part of this thing. There's ways to talk to people. You know, like when you talk to a D, you want to bottom line everything. They don't like stories. They want everything done to the bottom line. So, you know, if you're going to talk to a D, especially as an S, you have to come in with the detail, bottom line, bullet points, and then you'll be more successful. But as an S, S's don't do that. So you're going to have to reach into yourself and pull up your C and say, I'm going to get more detail. I'm going to be bullet point. I'm going to be bottom line. So that in that way you know yourself. So you don't go in and approach another basic style wrongly or not as effectively. And that's how you gain influence.
Right. And your own style changes over time, because I did the test 2 years ago and then I did it recently, and there's things that are similar, but there's mm-hmm. also some subtle differences. And so, as you mentioned, not only as you get to know each other, but you know, there will be a shift a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean,
your basic pattern is there, but you can adapt, you can change.
Yeah, because we learn more, we have more experiences, and hopefully we get wiser as we get older.
Right. that's the goal, right?
Yes.
So anybody else, and you don't have to ask a question specific to your, you know, results if you took them, but just any ahas or insights you had, you know, you can, there's an opportunity to share that as well.
Hey, Chuck, it's Heidi.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, hi.
Yeah,
really great talk. I just really appreciate how detail-oriented you were. Maybe you're a C, huh?
I am a C.
But also, you have such compassion for us. I just really appreciate, you know, the heart that you have for educating us on this topic. So thank you. My question is there a place we can go to find out, do a test for our subsets, you know, so underneath our main letters, you're saying that the type 2 is, you know, what you're trained in. Is there a place, you know, like the Tony Robbins, where we can go to find out more about the 24 different types that we might be a part of?
No, there really isn't. Tony Robbins has, he has some sub-styles. I think he has 16 with his, he does the assessment plus or something. And there are people around that you can do the DISC assessment, I think, that have some of the sub-styles. But the sub-styles in Generation 2 are the property of Bradford Grant. And so they control all that. And right now, they don't have any place you can go to learn more. But let me just point out something about the sub-styles. Is the sub-styles are, what do I say? They're usually very conspicuous and very obvious, you know, so that you, once you learn about the 24 sub-styles, you can start picking people out as to what their sub-style is.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are mentors and some are not. Some are natural teachers, some are not. Some people are nags, you know, and they're persistent. And these are traits that you can usually see. They're usually very conspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can start seeing the patterns in people.
Yeah.
And it's not obvious because we didn't have a chance to talk about it today. So.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you so much.
Right.
So what, Chuck, what you were mentioning earlier, and kind of to tag on what Heidi was saying, which I think is a great question, is This is the generation, disk generation 2 is brand new. You guys are just launching it, right?
Yeah, it was published in 2016, and they've been teaching it in the military and the intelligence community since 2016. So
it's just
they're
becoming,
just coming out to the public now.
Yeah, exactly. It's just being released to the public. And so one of the reasons, even though the talk is disk generation 2, you know, the challenge is you need to let people know, you know, give them the foundation, right?
Yeah, you got to, yeah. The sub-styles are useless to you unless you understand the basic styles. Because
right.
the sub-styles are attached to the D, I, S, and C.
Right.
So because the like the D has 2, 4 has 5 different sub-styles. The I has 4. The S has 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, and C's have 2, 4, 6, 8 sub-styles. So, and this, like I said, this is a whole course in itself.
Right. So over time, we'll have to have you back to talk about the sub-styles more specifically.
Yeah.
Then we can have people listen to this recording to get the basics. Well, okay, so last call. Any other questions before we wind up the call and I give you more information about our upcoming events? All right. So what I'd like to do first is just, Chuck, thank you so much for sharing your, you know, just, I know you've immersed yourself in this, the information, the culture of DISC and all of that. And so thank you for generously sharing with our Exceptional Connections December community and our bonus call. Appreciate that a lot.
Thank you.
You're
I'm
welcome.
I'm glad to do it.
So tell us how, you know, let's share with our listeners how they can work with you. Tell them what you're up to now so that they can circle back with you.
Yeah, well, what I'm up to is I'm doing my small business consulting and I'm doing training. I'm going out training within different companies, this DISC in Generation 2. Like I was in Texas last week doing this, training a Fortune 500 company. So how people just need to contact me either by email or text or call me and, just engage. I'll be glad to talk to anybody. So the best way to do it is just contact me.
And I understand you're also open to speaking opportunities, sharing this Generation 2, this talk, basically, with other groups, right?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, I'm scheduled in January and February to talk to a couple groups to do this. I love doing it, and I think it's really interesting, and it does help teams and organizations.
Well, thank you again. I really appreciate you, and you know, I've learned a lot about myself just in being able to take the task and understand different, DISC sub-styles. So well, thank you. Okay, but if you're on the line, hold on to your hat for a moment. There's more. So our January Exceptional Connections Networking Luncheon is Tuesday, January 8th, and Brittany Nelson will be coming from Washougal, Washington, which is in the kind of the Vancouver area, and she's going to be sharing with us, and so we encourage you to register and get the early bird discount before the end of the month, and then we're also honored that our November Spotlight speaker, Elise Enriquez, will be offering our January educational series, Skill Shop. So our $127 early bird rate, I'm extending to Tuesday, January 1st in view of the holidays. So if you go to our exceptionalconnectionsnetworking.com website and under events go to educational series, you'll be able to click on the link and reserve your seat for that event. So we're super excited. So there's been a little bit of a pivot. Elise Enriquez is going to be sharing with us her GIST program. So GIST meaning get your stuff together, and that's a perfect time with the new year. I'm just going to read a little blurb from her information about this 2-hour skill shop. So So your brain is meant for having ideas, not holding them. Your brain is meant to be present with your family, friends, and clients. It's meant to be creative. It's meant to help you be so strategic and to move forward with matters that matter most to you. So she's encouraging everybody to come to our Exceptional Connections Just Skill Shop, where you can learn how to build your bonus brain that holds everything that you need to be remembered and done so that your brain is freed up to be more present, creative, and strategic. So I'm very excited about this because the new year is a time where we all have goals, but we don't always know how to implement those goals. There's a lot of things that our mind is swirling around in our mind. I know that's been the case for me. And so it's nice to have a strategy for not feeling so overwhelmed and have a plan and be able to allow your brain to just, you know, be, like she said, your best self, be creative and present. So we encourage people to join us. We're looking forward to a sold-out event. We're going to be meeting at the Pizza Coop and Ale House, and if we our registrations exceed that, then we'll find a bigger location. So that's it for now. I'm just wishing everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, happy and healthy New Year, and I want to leave you with this. Make every connection an exceptional connection. So any parting words, Chuck?
No, I think just, go out and hopefully this information was helpful and you can start seeing patterns and start improving your relationships with people and, be maybe a little more thoughtful before you speak. Okay. Otherwise,
good word.
Have Merry
words
Christmas
of wisdom.
And Happy Holidays.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.